to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode 352. I'm your host, Mike Gutterman, coming to you from a milder Gutterman cave. The ice is melting, and I'm very happy about that. We got some warm weather coming in. It's making me very happy. But this is the Monday show, and enough with the weather report. Let's get on to everyone's favorite co-captains. We'll start out in Los Angeles, California, La La Land, the City of Angels, Mr. Andre Dominguez. How are you doing tonight, Andre?
I'm doing good, Mike. It's a nice, warm mid-70s here in sunny California. I actually don't even know if that's right, but it's not cold, so in your face.
and a happy belated birthday to Mr. Andre Dominguez. Yesterday was his birthday, so he is now 48 years old. So
25. But, bring on the quarter-life crisis.
Quarter-life crisis. Does that mean you got to buy like a fancy new camera to feel good about your old age, to feel good about yourself? Is that what you're going to do?
I mean, I did buy a monorail and a tripod that weighs as much as a tanker ship.
Nice. All right. And our other co-captain, all the way out in the greater, let me get this right, Richmond, Virginia area. Did I get that right, Jess?
Jess That's Jones. Right, How but I'm actually in State College, Pennsylvania right now. This is where my partner lives, so I'm up here for a few days. So just enjoying some more extra cold weather. Snowing every day.
You kind of left one area of snow into another, right? So.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's supposed to be 60 degrees there in Virginia this week, so I don't know what I'm doing up here.
Well, this partner of yours better be worth it, and I better treat you right up there, because you know, you left some warmer weather, warmer climates. So you know, there you go.
I know. We're
supposed to hit 60 here this week, so I'm very, very happy. So, all right. So this is the Monday show. So we have a special guest, and that is none other than Mr. Mario Piper in Randolph, Vermont. And Mario is, you've probably seen him on the Facebook group, and you might have heard a little podcast he does called the Gen X Photography Podcast, which we'll certainly talk about it a little later in the show. But Mario, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, brother.
It's good to have somebody from my generation. I'm assuming by the name of your podcast, and I'm not outnumbered tonight. So yeah,
1994, I graduated high school, so. And right, I don't know where that places
Born
me.
Born in 96.
Oh, man.
I graduated high school in 89, so I'm still the oldest guy here, but that's all right. It's with age comes wisdom, and I'll sticking with that. So, well, Mario, this is your first time on Negative Positives, and so we have to, have people find out a little bit about yourself, how you got into film photography, and let's hear a little bit about that.
Well, being of our generation, all we knew was film, but I didn't really pay attention to photography until 2004 or 5. My wife and I traveled to India for a couple of months, and I wanted to get a good camera. And by that time, digital started taking over, and I didn't really know anything about photography. So I just got one of those cheap Panasonic Super Zoom cameras, and I enjoyed it, and then just kind of continued on. Back in 2011, I think, I saw the Fujifilm X100, and I was like, oh, man, I really wanted that. So I saved and saved and never got it until 2018. And then for some reason, I can't remember what it was, but I decided that I wanted to try film photography. Actually, I have to backtrack a little bit. This is the way my conversations go.
It's always hard to get the timeline right. I can never get my timeline right either. So,
Well, I took a digital photography class back in 2012, and my boss at the time knew that I loved photography, and so he gave me an old film camera. I think it was I can't remember the name. A cheap. Vivitar camera.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. I got a roll of, I can't remember what film it was, but I got a roll of film, put it in, had a lot of fun thinking I was shooting it, sent it to the dark room, and they said there were no pictures. I'm like, oh, man.
So you loaded it wrong.
I must have. Anyways, I gave up on it for a while, but then back in 2019, I decided to give it a try again, and I really fell in love with it. So I sold all my digital. Not that I've abandoned it mentally forever, but for right now, I'm just going to stick with film because I really, really, really love it. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
And I mean, community's a lot better, right?
It's yeah, it is.
It's all right. You don't have to be ashamed to admit it.
I really agree with it because I know there's a lot of flack going around about digital versus film, but I do love the film community a whole lot.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest things about this hobby, truthfully, is I don't really see it. And I guess every hobby has it, but you know, I don't see really this kind of tight knit group sort of with a hobby that has this many people involved in it. It just seems weird. Yeah. How people get to know all over the world that share this hobby. And I haven't had any other. I've had plenty of hobbies. All of them cost me money and keep me broke, but none of them has a community like this. So it's very cool. But so when you got back into film or like started really embracing it, was it the process that you found so exciting and fun, or was it the actual results or the combination, or what was it?
Well, truth be told, so I the first four rolls of film that I bought were Ektachrome. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see what a piece of slide film looked like. Mm-hmm. But I sent those to the darkroom, and they came back fine. But they weren't the first ones that I actually saw. The first film that I actually saw, as far as the film strip, was a roll of Kodak 2254. I developed it on my own. Mm-hmm. I decided to get into developing almost right away.
Awesome.
I was nervous at first, but it's not difficult. And when I saw the pictures in that 2254, it was like, wow, this looks so different from digital. You see like specks and little did I realize it's dust, but right? And you know, the faded look, and it was just weird. Right. And I loved it. So, and now I really, any kind of imperfection that I see in film, I just really, really love. Light leaks, the first roll or first shot of the roll, or, you know, anything like that. I just love the human aspect of it. So,
and the 2254, I get all these Kodak numbers mixed up. That's one of the lower ISO ones. Is that correct?
That's 1.6.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You did not make it easy on yourself.
No. No.
Talk about it's accepting my favorite the challenge film, of film, man.
Wow. It's true.
So, yeah, you know, most people might want to think about starting with a 400 or something, you know, make it a little bit easier. No, not I'm going to make this as hard as I possibly can. So
now, you know, you must really love a tripod because for a decent part of the year, I don't think Vermont gets a whole lot of sun, right?
Well, interestingly, this is where I've learned a lot about the sunny 16 rule. That 22 is nice for Vermont because not only on a sunny day, but when there's snow on the ground, it's exceptionally bright. Mm-hmm. So we do have to actually close down our, you know, stops almost all the way if we're able to, at least down to 16. And I do make use of a tripod, but most of the time I actually just carry it around and try to, you know, really calm myself down and you know, press the shutter. So
you're trying to say you like to see it slows you down, right?
That's right.
He's trying to avoid saying that is what I'm hearing.
No, right. It is a difficult film to shoot, but it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Also, from listening to your podcast, actually, you know, I'm going to save this question, but it has something to do with a little nectar that you like.
Yep.
So maybe I'll save that to the ending segment. Seems like a good way to end the show, so I'll save that one. But that's a little teaser we like to call in the business here. So
a sweet teaser.
All right. Well. We know a little bit about Mario. Now we're going to find out a whole lot more about him in the second segment, where we have some Facebook questions to him and all that, and we'll dive a little deeper into really deep probing, Mr. Mario Pipe. So, let's go ahead and kind of find out what we've all been up to. We always talk about our weeks and what we've been up to lately. So we start with Andre. Andre, what have you been up to, brother? And did you get any cool film related gifts for your birthday?
Well, my girlfriend said that she didn't know what film to get me and that she'd invariably get it wrong. So instead of giving me a film, she wanted to do something a little bit more handmade. So she does like cross stitching, and she started but didn't 100% finish. It's really cool cross stitched Rolleiflex camera that, you know,
awesome.
usually you do it like cool. A round wooden frame. But knowing sort of like my aesthetic of how I like the things here in my apartment, she just bought like a simple black like 8x10 picture frame that she's going to be stretching it over the glass itself.
Very cool.
I think it's going to look really, really cool. And I appreciated that she wanted to get me something kind of film photography related, knew that the Rolly was one of my favorite cameras. I've been taking a lot of pictures of her on it. And yeah, I really appreciated that. on Friday, unfortunately, she calls me up and she's like, "Hey, I think I need to go to the emergency room. I'm having like real weird like abdominal pains." And so I went there to go see her. It took about 2 hours for the hospital staff to let me into the room with her. And when I got there, I was just kicking myself that I didn't have like any camera on me at all. You know,
no.
Yeah, just because like I don't know if she would feel weird about it or anything, but I wanted to kind of document it somehow. We were both, you know, pretty nervous. They ran a bunch of tests. Like, still don't particularly know kind of what was wrong. But
I've talked about,
that's like one of my biggest creative or photographic regrets was that I didn't really regret my time in the hospital when I had my heart surgery. That was like another, you know, stressful time within the confines of a medical facility where I was like, I wish I could document this on film. But she's doing all right. And Saturday we celebrated my birthday. She made a cake, shot the whole day on the little Lamography simple use, reusable disposable with some 800T. And then on Sunday, I must have forgotten how the camera worked or something like that. Opened the back and exposed all of it.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Andre, you have a habit of ruining a film of special moments with loved ones. It just seems to be something you do.
Really oh no, it's your
make
curse.
This whole big deal of like, oh, I want to shoot it on film. It's gonna be authentic. I can print this, and then I managed to fuck it up.
I was gonna say you gotta stop giving her the last dab hot sauce.
Oh no, I don't know which of us is worse with hot stuff. I think we're both pretty bad.
Oh yeah, you don't like the hot sauce?
What?
You don't like hot sauce?
I love hot sauce.
Oh, okay.
It just really, really hurts.
I get a sting rings the next day.
It's a good kind of pain. but yeah, this later this week, I'm taking Thursday and Friday off. Her and I are going to be taking a little vacation because she just got hired for a full-time position in her area. So it'll be a nice little opportunity to celebrate. I'm taking up here in the background. I'm taking the big boy, the Toyo 45C monorail. I've got a huge ass tripod. That is arriving tomorrow, and it's just going to be a really fun time is it even still Southern California at that point? Somewhere on the coast of California, in a nice little beach house with a big-ass heavy 4x5 camera.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool, man. So, I was gonna say something really bad, but I'm not going to. Just making sure you had a good birthday. Good birthday night. Have a good birthday night, Andre.
To the podcast.
I saw your little thing on the messenger feed. Yuck, yuck.
All right, so I guess we'll spare Andre anymore. Let's move on over to Jess. Jess, what have you been up to lately?
Just been trying to shoot a little bit, not a whole lot the past couple weeks. We went out to one of the state parks in Virginia just a couple weeks ago, shot some film out there. That was a lot of fun. And then after that, we had ice storm number one come through. So I know, Mike, you experienced that. I don't know if you did too, Mario, but
no,
so that was a little rough.
Yeah.
You didn't get it up there?
No, just all we've gotten this year is snow and
regular snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little rough. We lost a lot of power in pretty much all throughout just our area and surrounding Richmond and stuff. But a lot of our power lines are still above ground, especially out where I live. So once the tree, I made it through the first day. And then right after dark, sometime power went out, tree fell down, you know how that goes. And on my grid, there's only three houses. So we were the last ones to get power a few days later. So I pretty much stayed at work for all my days off. And then I went to work on my days on. So that was fun. Wow. It was a little rough. And there wasn't much to document because it was just absolutely awful outside. And then it melted. And then we got ice storm number two.
Yep.
So, and luckily we didn't lose power in that one. They said it was going to be a lot worse, but it was fine. There was a lot of ice still, but for the most part, it was fine, at least where I was. And so I've spent a lot of time reorganizing some film files. I've got a new workflow editing stuff that I've been working on too, based on some suggestions both in the Facebook group and off of Clubhouse. So I've been using a new little editing tool, which has been fun, and that's pretty much it. Oh, and I got my first vaccine dose, so pretty excited about that.
Awesome.
Yeah, very so cool. That it ended on a good note. It started good, ended good, so we're all good.
Cool.
I think our governor just announced like the next class of people will be able to get the vaccine, I think, in March. And for some reason, I'm in that class. Like, I know my son is because he works at a grocery store. But even me as a factory worker, for some reason, we're in this next round for some reason. So I was kind of surprised at that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only reason I could get it, being a food worker and service industry, and we have a little grocery store and stuff. And we are really, really lucky to get it. Some of my other friends have gotten it strictly because snowstorm comes through, ice storm, a lot of appointments end up getting canceled and they have to use those vaccines. So you can kind of sign up and keep your eye out and rush in and get one. So some other people have been able to do it that way as well. So definitely keep your eyes peeled.
All right, cool. So Mario, what have you been up to lately, man? I know your podcast has been a little sporadic, but you've had an episode here not too long ago, so I feel like I kind of know a little bit what you've been up to. But tell the fine folks what are you been getting yourself into here.
Well, as far as my podcast goes, I did start off more than regular, and then I kind of dwindled off for a little bit, and I decided, you know, it's better for me to just do it on a regular. On a regular basis. So I'm going to do it, you know, the beginning of the month, the first day of the month, and just keep it like that. And it'll allow me a month to kind of think of things and, you know, what I want to talk about. But as far as, non-podcast related photography stuff, this past week, I've been developing a lot of roles.
Awesome.
I did a film swap with Denise Grays, and the results were pretty interesting. She sent me a role of Pro Image 100 that I think she might have shot twice, because I see like three images on the same image. And then I sent her a role of Kono Monolith 2, which is red scale.
Okay.
And she's currently shooting it. Mm-hmm. And then I shot my first role of Lumography Purple or Lumichrome Purple.
Oh, cool.
Developed that.
Oh, I love that film. Night. It's one of my favorites.
Me too. So cool. So cool. And let's see. Oh, and one, I received the role today off of eBay. It was a role of Kodacolor. Not Kodacolor X, just Kodacolor, which I guess predates it. I didn't realize it.
Oh, wow.
So I developed it in C41 at 68 degrees instead of 102.
Okay.
And I don't think I got any images, but I'm going to scan it anyways and just see.
Right. So. See if you can pull something out. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think if you developed it at the proper temperature, it would have maybe got you something? Or do you think it was just the film so old?
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be developed with C22 chemicals, but
oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. And I should have done HC110. I've read that you can do it in HC110, but I've actually had good results on one roll of film of Kodacolor X that's to be developed in C22. I just developed it in C41 at really low temperatures, and I got really interesting but good results.
Okay, I did hear somebody say with the C22 process, if you do it at the regular C41 temperature, it just kind of burns everything off of it. Apparently, like
it does. Weird what happens, because I hope I'm not talking too much, but I bought a couple of rolls of 828 film. I didn't realize it was 828 film. I thought it was 35 millimeter. It's the same height. Mm-hmm. But they don't have any sprockets. Right. So it's, you know, overall a larger image size. So I had to buy another camera to shoot that film.
Wait, so it's the same height as if it would have had sprockets, but it's sprocketless. So it's that exact same width?
It's the same overall width of 35 millimeter, but without sprockets. So it's a larger image size. Mm-hmm. It's an old, they don't make it anymore. But it was C22 film as well, and I developed it as C41 at regular temperatures, and oh man, it like cracked all over the place.
Yeah.
It was really weird. Really weird.
You might start a new trend in low-fi photography, though. You never know.
Exactly. I think it's called like film reticulation or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that just like the big temperature change and it does that kind of
problem? Old film, it can't handle it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's I forget who was talking about that, but well, that's interesting. I've never tried to shoot any. I've never had the balls to try C22. Like it just seems like I got enough expired film as it is. I don't need to go back that far. I don't think. But,
I've got a couple of rolls in the fridge of old film that I'm really looking forward to shooting this summer. So,
right, very cool. Anything else, Mario?
Just right now it's because of COVID, it's very busy for me. I never lost my work, and my work has actually increased because the school that I clean wants me, or they have me come in every day and do a midday sanitizing. So my sleep schedule is weird.
I imagine. Yeah.
Sleep twice a day.
Because I understand it, you work nights most of the time, right?
All the time.
Another night shift worker. Another thing we have in common. There, so.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it's just interesting.
Uh-oh, the cat has joined us.
Oh, I love cats.
You know, this is going to be hard for me to podcast with you right here.
I saw a little Bort hole.
Little cat butt. A little cat butt in the video here. So, so Mario, I guess this would be a good place to kind of expand on this a little bit, because I'm not sure what the questions are on the Facebook group yet. But the podcast, what made you think about doing a film photography podcast? What is it? Just like me, you just needed some place to vent your film love, other than your significant other.
Yeah, she's very good at absorbing it all. But that was a large part of it. And I don't know why. It's kind of a nice thing to be able to talk about it and to have people, you know, that like to listen. And you know, I go on my Anchor app and they don't have many listeners, but it's still fun to see, you know.
Oh,
fun
sure
to see how many listen to this podcast or this episode or that episode, you know.
And, when I first started, it was like, you know, when you first started seeing anybody listening, it just blows you away. You're like,
exactly,
listening to me talk about this shit, like, why?
I know. So. And then you get, I don't know about you, but I became very self-conscious, like, am I making any sense or anything like that? So
yeah, if you listen to my early episodes, I didn't give a rat's ass whether I was making any sense. All right, well, I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more about the podcast and stuff as well. So, but as far as my week, I thought I was going to have to say I did jack squat nothing again, but I actually did during the ice storm. actually picked up my APS, one of my APS cameras, and I finished a roll of APS film and shooting nice. The various ice formations out around my property. Basically, one morning I was leaving the cave here, and the sun was coming up, and you know, there was just some kind of cool sun hitting the ice, the bazillion icicles are around. So I took some frozy shots and finished up a roll of film. So I did do a little shooting, so that was good. But the only other thing. Oh, I did release another background music album for any of you podcasters or YouTubers out there. It's another electronic version. This one's a little more atmospheric, a little more down tempo. It's not all like boots and cats and boots and cats and boots. Not all that. So this one's a little chill, more than more chill. So if you need some music for any of your productions, that's out there on my Bandcamp site. So that link will be in the show notes. But and then let's see what else here. Oh, I mentioned. Mr. Mike Rosso had sent me some his the FPP's new film, Film Love, Black and White, and this beautiful little very heart pink and red heart packaged film here, and he sent me some to test and possibly give away a couple rows. So I decided I'm gonna give away a couple rows of this, and I was trying to think how I could do this. Well, I mean, the name of the film is Film Love, so love should be a part of this, right? And so I decided if you saw my face cast on the Facebook group last weekend, you kind of know where I'm going here. But in the 90s, my wife and I wasn't really big into photography, but we did have a habit. We took a lot of snapshots, and we had a habit of, like, you know, a little point shoot camera, a lot of times APS, I will admit. And it was hot. Film photography is taking a little bit of storm. And we would hold it, you know, at my arms. Like, now I have long arms, so sometimes they would be in focus, but most of these point-shoot cameras wouldn't focus quite close enough to get us in focus. But we would take a little kissy selfie with our little point-and-shoot camera. Cat just knocked the heater down. So anyway,
up in flames.
let me fix this before it catches the garage on fire here.
Oh man, it's like kids.
Okay. So editing, not wonderful. We just take these little 90s kissy selfies with point and shoot cameras. So what I'm asking for here, I'm going to put up a thread in the Facebook group. This will be a Facebook group contest, because it's the only way I can really make sure I see the entries. So if you're not on the Facebook group, as usual, you're missing out. So in the Negative Positives Film Photo Podcast Facebook group, in the announcements section, which is at the top of the page, I'll put a thread probably after the show tonight of, you know, people to submit a kissy analog selfie with your, you know, your significant other, or you can kiss like your pet or your cat that knocks your heater down and burns your throat. A guitar. I've kissed a guitar before. It's not weird. And whatever you love, it could be one of your favorite cameras. And just a kissy selfie, and it has to be film, none of these iPhone shots. Film kissy selfie is what I need. There'll be two big wieners to win a row of the FPP's Film Love Black and White, courtesy of Mr. Mike Rosso from the Film Photography Project, Film Photography Podcast. And of course, I'll throw in some Negative Positive stickers and a button, and maybe I'll find some other old film in my refrigerator that to send along the way to two big wieners for that. So that's it. It's official. That contest is live. As soon as I put up that thread in the announcement section of the Facebook group, kissy analog selfies to win it. And some film. Show me your love to win some film love. There you
go. So film love.
That wasn't the creepiest description to the Negative Positives Community Challenge.
You know, hey, everyone needs a little love these days, you know, so I just
think, the ghost challenge wasn't creepy enough, right?
How can I make it how can I do something more cringy and creepier? So that seems to work, so it's a fit the bill. But all right, well, I think that's our weeks. I think we'll take a little break here, and we'll come back with some questions from the aforementioned Negative Positives Film Photo Podcast Facebook group, with some questions to Mr. Mario Piper. So we'll take a break and be right back, folks. All right, folks, we're back from the break, and this is the second segment. We like to have the fine people of the negative positives. Gosh, I'm getting ready to have a beer burp here. Sorry. I should clear that up before I hit record. All right. Find folks on the Negative Positives Film Photo Podcast Facebook group. We always have them come up with some questions or some topics they'd like to hear from our guests. So this is no different than any other show. So let's start out. Let's find out what the fine people want to know about Mr. Mario Piper. What do we have up first, Andre?
First up from Mr. Billy Sanford. He asks, saw you were out shooting with your daughter a while back. What were her thoughts on the film experience, and what was your experience teaching her?
Oh, I didn't see that question. Okay. So out with my daughter. Can you ask the question again? Sorry about that.
Out of my surprise.
I did not see that.
He asked, what was your experience teaching her, and what were her thoughts on the whole, you know, shooting film experience?
Oh, okay. She seems to love film not as avidly as I do.
How old is she?
She's 10 years old.
Awesome.
And I bought her a Minolta SRT 101 with a beautiful 58mm Rokor lens that I took from her and gave her my 50mm. I didn't take it from her, but it's the 58mm is really, really difficult to rotate to get into focus. I mean, it's hard. I don't know if the lube is bad or what, but
bad lube.
That's right. So I gave her my 50 and I showed her how easy it was to focus, and she said that she'd like that. So and there's hardly a difference in focal length. But anyways, it was a lot of fun. I can tell that she is not as picky as I am. I think she had Kodak Gold, my cherished Kodak Gold, and was shooting, you know, late at night, just at dusk. And I was like, it's going to, the photos that come out are going to be kind of gray almost, because there's snow and there's gray sky and that's about it. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't care. I want to shoot it. So it was nice.
That's cool. That's cool.
She's got about 10 photos left, and then we'll develop it at home. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to have her help develop it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's actually developed with me before. So.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. I did that. I think it was last summer or the summer before. I took my boys out and had them shoot in little point and shoot cameras. And I think you'll find hopefully you'll find when you get the results back, they definitely shot photos that were different framing than I, because they don't know the rules. You know, I didn't teach them the rules. I was like, hey, just shoot what you think looks cool. You know,
and
like,
there's rules. And,
yeah, right.
Like, no one told me the rules.
Yeah.
Compositional rules, you know, rule of thirds, all that stuff. You know, I didn't teach them really any of that stuff. And I was kind of interested. It was interesting to see, like, how they saw things in the same areas that I was shooting at the same time. Just saw things completely differently from an unjaded photographer's, you know, insight.
Yeah.
I think hopefully you'll kind of see that same result. It was interesting. Yeah,
I think so. She got a roll. Well, I got her a roll of a Revlog texture. It looks like it has bubbles all over the film. Mm-hmm. And she really, really loved that film. We developed it at home. She saw the picture. She laughed her eyes out. And it was just so cool to see her reaction. And almost all of them were her shots. She had a couple of double exposures in there. Mm. So it was kind of neat.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. I think next time I do it, I notice I said idea and not ideal. People are giving me shit about that lately. But
speech language pathology with Mike Gutterman.
So next time I do that, I think maybe I should give them a weird feel. You know, the first time we did it, they were just shooting like Kodak Ultramax 400 or whatever. And I think to do some sort of use some kind of weird film with them, I think would maybe excite them a little more, because, you know, I mean, they're young and like they're used to their camera, their phone camera photos. And I think maybe next time I'll try a funky film with them. That might get them a little more excited, I think. So that's good.
What about red scaling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
You should get them some red scale 2254. 0.3 ISO.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if the little point and shoots that I'm allowing them to use at this point is going to handle that on their will. So.
I should try that too. I used to send disposable cameras to my niece. She's six now, so it's when she was 4 and 5. I haven't done it lately, but I would have my sister mail them back to me, and I would develop them and then send her prints of all the photos she took. And I think she was just a little too young for it to be excited necessarily, but also because she would just whip open doors on my sister and her father, and then I would have to develop those photos. And so like it so much. So maybe in a couple of years, I'll send her some cool bubble film or something like that.
There you go. There you go.
It's interesting film.
Jess, I noticed, is this the first time you're using that mic? Because you sound a lot better tonight. I know you got like a professional mic.
No, this is the same one. I just have internet now.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's
it. I'm somewhere with real live internet. That's there you why. Go. There you go. I'm not in the sticks.
All right. Anybody else want to ready to move on? Or I guess you got the next question, Jess. What do we got?
Yes. So Roxana actually asks, Mario, where do you draw your inspiration from?
That's a difficult one because it's not from any particular source. Most of the time when I'm out shooting, it's just inspiration from what I see. And, you know, knowing that film has a particular look and that each kind of film has its own unique look, I often think, I wonder what that's going to look like with this kind of black and white with lots of grain, or 2238 with, you know, really, you know, a lot of contrast, or, you know, I don't, it's just a matter of the actual experience or the, you know, the item that, or the piece, whatever that I'm shooting. I kind of get my inspiration in the moment, I guess. I mean, obviously I'm inspired by a lot of the photographers that I see, on Facebook, on Instagram, on websites, and, you know, from eons past. And those kind of all sum up into, you know, inspiration in general, and then from the moment, in a large part or a large way, I guess. Yeah.
I'm kind of with you on that. I've had that question asked to me on like other podcasts and stuff, like, who's your influences and stuff? And like, Andre and I have talked about this quite a bit. Like, I mean, I look at a lot of photography and I appreciate it. And I guess in a way it inspires me, but when I go out and shoot, I'm not thinking like, I'm going to try to do this because this is what Ed Weston would do right now or something. Like, I don't really think about those. I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, subliminally, I guess they influence me, but I don't really know that I'm influenced. I just shoot what I think looks cool when I'm out shooting, you know?
Well, I Mike and I have had these conversations a lot. Like, neither of us are really huge, big, like, photo book people, especially like the photographic greats. Not that we don't appreciate that kind of photography. Like, I enjoy looking at it, but I'm inspired to shoot, like, period.
It's
inspired about what I'm going to shoot. If I see that people are out, you know, doing some like backpacking and hiking with their 4x5 cameras, I'll look at this heavy bastard on a tripod and be like, I should go do that. But I'm not necessarily going to be taking similar photos. But when I see my, and especially I think this is also as to why I love our community, because when I see my friends shooting, it makes me want to shoot so that I can share images with them and participate in that fun process of talking about it with one another. If I'm sitting down and looking at a really beautiful photo book, that in and of itself doesn't make me want to go out and shoot, because I'm not talking to anybody about like fine art photography that I'm trying to
do. I'm so glad to hear you guys say that, because I feel the same way. And I've always been a little self-conscious about it, because a lot of my friends do collect photo books, and some of them even have YouTube channels dedicated to it. And, I've just never been huge on it. It's really just when I see people I know shooting, or if I'm talking about it with you guys, and that inspires me to want to go shoot. Just photo books never really got me off. So,
We were talking on Clubhouse the other night that, like, you know, I mean, there's a few kind of celebrity film photographers that Mike wants to have on the podcast. Towards getting them on, but like, honestly, like I like. Yeah, I consider the negative positive community my friends, and I like having conversations with people like Mario who are like
Thanks, man.
people, regular people who and stuff like that, more so than like celebrity photographers or professionals. Well, I
mean, the working man's podcast.
That's right. It's not like I'm trying to big time everybody here. Like there's a couple that I have.
Mike wants these big wigs.
I'm going to throw this out here in case anybody has any contacts, because I'll send you some free film if you make this happen for me. But I'd love to have like Jason Lee. I mean, obviously it would be awesome to have him on. Jack White, I think, he runs he's got the whole thing going on there.
I poop my pants if Jack White was on here.
Oh my God. I mean, I love him as a musician, and the fact that he's so into analog, like, hell yeah. I'd jump at the chance to do that. But
yeah.
And then my wife wants me to have on Norman Reedus, because he apparently does photography, the guy from The Walking Dead, Daryl from The Walking Dead. And, so apparently he does photography. I don't even know if he shoots film, but I told my wife if I had the chance to have him on, then she'll be sitting here right here next to me. And, there's three I would have, but I'm not trying to turn this into celebrity photography today.
Pretty soon we have, you'll be having, what's his name? Oh, the guy that did, The Force Awakens and The Rise of Skywalker.
Johnson? No, I would not allow him on the podcast after what he did to Star Wars.
Who's that?
Ryan Johnson?
No.
J.J. Abrams?
J.J. Abrams, yeah. I mean, he loves film, you know?
Right, that's true.
He shot the Rise of Skywalker on film.
That's true, yeah. We could... J.J.
Abrams is allowed on the podcast. Ryan Johnson...
Very good points. All right. Well,
I live in Hollywood. I probably shouldn't be saying these things.
Brad Johnson's gonna be sending.
You're gonna be blacklisted.
Sending us some secret
Hollywood
agents.
With the pitches.
I will say one thing too about the photo book thing. It's like I have some photo books. It's like some of my favorite masters of photography or whatever. But yeah, but when I look at them, it's like the reason I think they don't inspire me is I know I'm not that good. I'm not good enough. So that's just part of it too. So, but
Mario, I bet it's something that you encounter a lot, enjoying some of these more sort of experimental films and things like that. Not that there doesn't exist experimental photography from the photographic greats, like not at all, but I mean experimenting with something like 2254 or 2238 and the whole like community on Facebook and Instagram that has behind that, sharing like your developing tips with people, looking at different people's results, rating it at different ISOs, like I've dipped my toes into a little bit of that, and I derive so much more fun out of that than
me too.
Looking at these like really, really serious photo books of like fine art and trying to replicate any of that.
Yeah, it's true. It's almost like inspiration from the community itself, you know, of which we're part of. It's kind of a beautiful thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It feels a lot more reachable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just mm-hmm. feels like you can talk to that person about it, and so it's less intimidating, I guess.
Yeah, it's
which
almost
is why
like we're
this
all...
podcast is so great. It's for the people.
The Working Man's Podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're all building each other up to be better photographers, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right, I agree. Yeah, I like that.
Like
yeah.
I know that I can reach out to Mario and ask a question like Mr. Dave Mahaly from the...
Oh, look at that. Look at the segue. Oh, my goodness.
You can say something like, Mario, you've gotten some great results from Kodak 2254. Any tips for shooting low ISO film stuff? Mario's going to respond. I'm not going to ask Annie Leibovitz for portrait photography advice. At least not without paying for a fucking masterclass.
For a second, I may have to stop this recording because we're starting to sound like a professional podcast, and we cannot have that happen.
That was too smooth a segue for how the podcast is.
But Dave Mahaly, the old camera guy. So
that's right.
All right.
Well, as far as the 2254, it is my favorite film. I mean, I love a lot of film stocks, and I love Kodak Gold. I really do. It's cheap. It's beautiful grain, and it dries flat. But 2254 is my all-time favorite. And maybe it's because it was the first film that I developed, I'm not sure, or the first film that I, you know, first pictures that I saw from film that I, you know, that I myself shot.
That's a low ISO color, right?
Is that color, right? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's different colors, though. It's, I want to say muted, but it's not really, not like Lomography Metropolis or Lomochrome Metropolis. That's like muted.
Right.
This is more, it's hard to, like the skies are almost aqua.
Oh, I like
and
that.
The reds are kind of blood red a little bit, like dark blood red. You can get some really deep, deep purples in the film. I mean, it's really an interesting film.
Hmm. How does it do with flesh tones?
It depends on the light that you're in, actually. Yeah. It's very light dependent. Out in sunlight, man, it's kind of... I'll have to send you some photos of my kids, I guess, or, you know, in some way, you know, put them on the Facebook group or whatever. But it doesn't look normal. I'll just say that. It kind of gives it a different cast of color. But I don't shoot a lot of people, actually. I shoot more plants and trees and stuff like that.
Right.
But to tips for shooting 2254, one of the biggest things that I have to remember is that ISO 1.6 is six stops under ISO 100. Okay. So I have to do that calculation that on a bright sunny day, when you'd normally be at F16, I'm at F2 to get at 1/100th of a second.
Okay.
So that's one tip. And then just, they say film slows you down. You really have to slow down. You got to really just kind of anchor yourself and let your breath out and then click the shutter and just hope that it turns out. And most of the time it does. It's very, very beautiful film. Very beautiful.
I think I may have like one roll of it in my freezer or something.
Oh, you should shoot it, man. It's good.
Yeah. How's it do with like kind of, I don't know if you have this going on, right? I'm sure you probably do, but like right now in Louisville, it's all, everything's gray, you know? So maybe better to wait till the spring, probably when some colors start popping, or what do you think?
I shot it last winter. I've shot some this winter even. And it's winter's not the best time for, you know, awesome photography, but it does handle it in its own unique way. And the skies are always kind of an aquamarine tealish color. Yeah.
I like that. It almost I've always wanted to shoot like Lomochrome turquoise, which I never got to shoot. I love the way it made the skies look. I think a lot of times on that film, though, the skies would even turn orange at times. But I think Lomo's got to bring that back. Bring back the turquoise, man. Like, that would be awesome.
I reached out to them and I said, can you please bring it back? And they said, no, we have no plans, but we're going to come up with some awesome other stuff, you know? So.
Well, the purple kind of gives a little bit of a turquoise sky too.
It does.
Okay.
And can I just backtrack to where Mike said flesh tones instead of skin tones, like some kind of serial killer? Who says flesh tones? Did you never say that again? What do you think of these flesh tones?
Beautiful flesh tone sweater you've got there, Minette.
He's like sending a picture to his wife, and he's like, "Oh man, flesh tones."
On my way home from work the other night, I turned it on. I have a trowel of like Sirius radio, satellite radio on my car. When I bought my car, I got like a 6-month trial. So I've been listening to like this. It's called First Wave. It's like the old early alternative, like 80s and early 90s underground, like alternative stuff I haven't, back from my like high school days and stuff. So it's been kind of a fun station to listen to. But on my way home the other night, they played Billy Idol's Flesh for Fantasy. So maybe that's where that came from.
Oh, man.
I just got a little, you know, I got a little Billy Idol in my head. So it's, you know, it's, I'm not creepy. I'm asking for people to send me kissy pictures. I'm talking about flesh. I'm not a
bird. Fart butts or cat butts or whatever.
Cat butts. And, you know, it's just,
Mario, where do you buy the 2254 from?
I've gotten it from, the first rolls that I got were from the Film Photography Project. And or film photography store, project store. And then I got some from Mike Bartosek.
Yep.
Off of his Etsy store. Okay. So I've gotten a bunch of film from him. But I don't know if you guys can see this, but this is shot indoors. I did have to have a tripod, but that's my son.
Okay.
And so you can see the flesh tones. My son. It's different because that's not his skin tone at all. So
right. Yeah. Okay. Very cool. All right. So yeah. Now that I've been called out for my. I'm just trying to bring some sensuality to the podcast tonight. I'm in a mood, you know. So, how about we move on? What we got next? It's Jess, right?
Yep, you're up, Jess.
Oh, is it? Sorry, I asked Roxana's question.
Oh, that's right.
And then I think Jim Graves is next, and Andre. So
my transition was so smooth that Jess missed it. I asked the one from my Dave Mahaly, the 2254 low ISO one.
Oh, you skipped right ahead. All right.
Now we're back down to our unprofessional level. I like where we're at now.
All right. Jim Graves asks, why do people keep carping on about Leicas?
Leica.
No. Leica.
I totally read that as crapping on Leicas.
That's kind of what I thought too. So was that a question asked to me or was that asked to the community?
Well, it was in your thread, so I
right
think it's to you.
I don't know if I've ever crapped on Leicas.
Well,
I might have. I don't know. Maybe I'm one of my podcasts and I've forgotten about it. But I tell you what about Leicas. So I got my chance pretty recently to hold my first Leica.
Mm-hmm.
Not mine, but a camera shop's first Leica. And I was like, oh my goodness, it is nice. Mm-hmm. And I looked through the viewfinder and like I have a Konica 3A.
Mm-hmm.
Old rangefinder from the 50s. And it's a beautiful camera. But the rangefinder is I just don't like it, you know. I looked through the viewfinder of the Leica and it was just spectacular.
Mm.
Spectacular. But it's like $3,500 and I can buy, you know, hundreds of rolls of film and shoot, you know, my favorite cameras, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea if they're good or bad cameras. I see awesome results from them, but I'm just not at that price bracket right now.
Oh, so yeah, it's I think it's weird, man, the love hate thing with Leica. I get it because like I don't know that I'll ever afford a rangefinder Leica either. At least and stay married would be I get why people complain because you know, there's that thing. Well, the reason they're complaining is because they can't afford one. Well, I mean, yeah, that could be part of it. But the fact they can't afford one is a bit of a problem. Because I mean, are they really worth what you know what they're being sold for? You know, like I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I'm sorry, but I know this is an audio podcast, but like this camera right here,
mm-hmm.
Minolta SRT Super,
right?
It's beautiful. It's well made. It's heavy. The viewfinder is glorious,
mm-hmm.
and it shoots wonderful photos. I
right.
mean, the glass on it is awesome. So I can't complain. And it was like, you know, $150.
Yeah, I think it's like I see a little bit of it like like the music industry as well. It kind of matches the photo industry. Like, you know, I've heard people be like, yeah, I went and saw this band the other night and they were playing like a bunch of kids. And they were just playing like Squire guitars and Squire is like Fender's budget line or whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, who cares if they were playing Squires? Was the music any good? Did they write good songs? You know, like, and, but there's a little bit of snobbery that goes on. Oh, it's gotta be a Fender or a Gibson. And I think there's a little bit of snobbery that goes on in photography as well. Like obviously, and some people feel like, you know, they've made it in this world if they've got a Leica because they have this premium gear. It doesn't necessarily make you a better photographer or better photo. It's just like the Fender guitar doesn't make you a better musician either. So,
right.
But,
it's true.
Okay.
They are beautiful, beautiful instruments, though, man.
Oh,
you know,
I've got some Fenders. I mean, I'm not, some very expensive.
I had an old pink Stratocaster with it was a one humbucker and two single coils.
Single coils, yeah.
And a spider whammy bar.
Oh, there you go.
You're
just talking
awesome
gibberish
play,
now. humbucker, no spider, kimmy cord.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, Mario. You know, see,
I feel like you're just making up words at this point.
The kids these days don't play guitar anymore. They just want to play their damn laptop. So, like, they don't
understand. Oh, man.
Richard Moore has an opinion on this. He says here, speaking as a boomer photographer, are we all old, boring farts? And do you think that being, say, a Gen X, do you think photography offers something different to you than it might to boomers, both in appeal and execution?
That's a deep question, man.
So,
picking and choosing, Andre, rather than going in the order of these comments.
I mean, they may be looking like they're in a different order on my end, but I'm just going and getting those. Jess, I'm going for those smooth transitions.
Right. Boy, I don't know how to touch that, but you know, as far as the name of my podcast, I do love, like, the music and the movies from my generation. I love, and I think every generation loves their generation's music. And for me, part of it was, you know, I'm raising a son now who's 15. He's coming into his own generation. And for a long time, he liked the same things I liked. And now he doesn't like the things that I like. He likes his own stuff. Right. And so it was like kind of a generational thing. But when I started my podcast, he was very excited. And he's excited for this tonight. He told me before I left work, he said, I hope your podcast goes, or interview or whatever it was, goes
awesome.
Good. Yeah. But at the time that I started it, he actually said, Dad, you should start a podcast and have it about Gen X or something. Because we were having a discussion about Gen Z versus Gen X and some of the things that from my generation and his generation. Mm-hmm. And so it was nothing about, you know, no antithesis toward any generation. It was more of like a suggestion from my son about, you know, starting a podcast and putting the name Gen X in it at some point. So,
well, I love
it. A very famous Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit that said, Generation X, Generation Strange, my generation. famous
true.
Lines.
I mean, let's face it. We all know Generation X is the coolest generation that ever, ever, ever existed. I mean,
it's the coolest generation.
Hottest generation.
It's the hottest trend in generations. Is they're taking over.
That's right.
I've been waiting so long to bring up Limp Bizkit on this podcast. I'm finally glad I got it in.
Did you know that there's a close up, like sort of like a close up focusing accessory for the Leica cameras that's called the Nookie?
Oh, God. I can't tell you how much. I can't tell you how much I hated that song.
You know, Limp Bizkit? Well, he's from Jacksonville. Jess, I love Limp Bizkit.
When Limp Bizkit came out, I thought, like, Kurt Cobain's got to be rolling in his grave, man. Like,
I still listen to Limp Bizkit. I'm not ashamed to say it. My partner hates it, but I love it.
Oh, man. I know it's not Limp Bizkit, but kind of a similar band. Well, I don't know. They're not really that similar, but at the same time, we used to call... people that like corn flakes.
Oh, I love corn. I've seen them live. Am I a corn flake?
No.
I still listen to corn too.
There are a lot of their songs that I appreciate as well, but they kind of came on a little bit late for me.
Yeah.
We might be losing a lot of listeners with this conversation.
I know.
We haven't lost listeners after 352 episodes. I don't know how we're going to do it. So.
That's true.
All right. So what do we have next? I think we've started a generational war. So,
David Ortega says, what's the most extreme camera that you own?
So I guess depends on what you mean by extreme, but this is my most extreme camera.
I love it.
It's a little tiny, what they call sub miniature camera.
Okay.
I got it for $5 from a guy that we were buying something else. It was just a couple months ago. And he he found out that I like photography. I was talking about it, and he said, "Oh, I got some cameras that I'm trying to get rid of." And so he showed me this one. I'm like, "Wow, that's cool." It's a sub-miniature camera. It takes I don't know whether it's 14, 16, or 17 millimeter film, but in any way, it takes little tiny film. And you can open the back. It has a little. It's it's got the little red screen like a 120.
Okay.
But definitely not 120.
That is the complete opposite of the guys that drive the big jacked up trucks with the giant tires.
Exactly.
You see those roll by and you're like, damn, they have a small dick. But your camera's like, I feel really comfortable carrying this thing around. That's what it says.
It's true. And I had to do
got
a
confidence
little...
apparently. So
But I had to take it apart. The shutter didn't seem to be working quite right, so I just took it apart, and it was weird putting it back together, but it was pretty straightforward, and now it seems to work okay. So,
the thing looks
everybody
awesome.
Everybody knows that the men of Generation X have big wieners. It's it's just a thing.
And that's where that. Flesh tones came
from. All right, so if we have anything else, we're going slowly downhill here. But
I mean, I'll let you guys decide how serious we want to go with this. But as we're talking philosophy here, Angelo asks here. And maybe this is as the great Fred Durst said. You know, did it all for the Nookie. Mario, what is the sense of life?
So,
I don't know where to go with that, but
I don't either. I took it as meaning like, what is the purpose of life? But I don't know. Like, what is the sense? The sense of smell, the sense of sight. I'm not sure.
let me rephrase it this way to kind of get us back on track. You know,
okay.
What's the purpose of your photography? Why do you shoot?
Oh, what? Oh. Okay, that's I like that. So if that's the question, I've thought a lot about that. Like, I've thought to myself, you know, why do I do this? Cause I've taken probably 15, 20,000 photos from digital to film. I have reams and reams of photography and I sit and look at them. Why? I don't know, but I love it. I really, truly love it and now it's even, you know, more intensive, you know, back in the digital days, it was snap and put your SD card in the computer and then that's it. But now it's so much different and better. I love, just like everybody does, I love pulling the film out of the developer and seeing pictures. It's like, it's the coolest thing in the world. And yeah. I don't know what that is, why that is. It's just something in me, I guess.
It's tangible.
I think it's just
so the cool.
Tangible, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true. One of the things, I don't know if this is off the subject of that question, but one of the things I like about film photography, or that it's teaching me, I guess, because I didn't really try anything in my digital, other than long exposures at night, I didn't really try much with digital cameras. Mm-hmm. But with film, I've tried a lot of different things, like red scale, you know, red scaling my own film. recently, I shot a roll where it was 2238 film. So I shot it at ISO 25, you know, pretty high speed, comparatively speaking. And I shot something inside. So it was on my tripod and I had two subjects, one close to me and one about 2.5 feet away and one about, I don't know, 5 feet away. And inside at f/5.6, I had to have the shutter open at 30 seconds. So I put it on bulb mode, pressed the shutter, and then slowly zoomed out from the closest object to the furthest object in one exposure. And it made a weird effect.
Oh,
almost
yeah.
Like almost like looking in heaven or something like that. And I don't know. That's, I guess, film photography just kind of has opened up that in myself, you know, just wanting to explore. And so maybe that's kind of the purpose of my photography, is just to try new things. I'm not sure, though. I'm not sure how to answer that.
That was a great answer.
Yeah, it was a great answer. Yeah. You speak that Zoom movement you were talking about during an exposure. I've tried that a couple of times. Actually, Pentax had, and it's a working man's camera, had a they had a model back in the, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, somewhere around there. It had like a power zoom. And it was a big deal. And like you could do that, like you could take the put it on bulb mode and like it in mechanic or like electronically zoom it so it like be a smooth zoom. Yeah. So you would have, cause sometimes trying to do it manually is a little ratchety. But they had a camera that was kind of like it wasn't like distinctly made for that purpose, but it made that type of photography a lot easier doing that smooth zoom. Yeah. And I think it's got the Pentax Power Zoom or something. And it looked ridiculous. Like I think it had a battery thing on the lens or something. It was ridiculous. Yeah, but I don't think it's soap, but
I've only shot like 5 photos doing that, but it was pretty interesting. Like everything's in focus and out of focus at the same time. It's weird. So weird.
I did a photo like that of like a neon sign, and it just it looked kind of like you ever seen those mirrors that's like, you know, the lights, it looks like the lights go on to infinity. It's like a mirror, but it's got like, it sort of looked like that with the neon sign. So yeah.
Wow. It's cool.
All right. Well, Mario mentioned reams. And so this is my segue here. Is there any more probing that we need to do anymore? I said reams of film. I don't know. I was just trying to make a segue.
No, I did have a question that I wrote down.
Okay, you want to save that for the
third section?
Yeah.
Okay. So we got through the Facebook questions in, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a perfect time to take us another little break, and we'll come back and we'll discuss more reams of information and probing with Mr. Mario Piper from the host here. So we'll take us break then. This one is almost as bad as like the CCR Zoom episode. I think we're on.
There's no such thing as worse than the CCR Zoom episode.
we've had a lot of innuendos, I'm just saying. But,
for sure.
All right, well, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back, folks. Folks, we're back for the final segment, and this is where, you know, the hosts are going to, probe Mr. Mario Pipe a little deeper, and so we'll start with, who wants to probe first? I think we'll start with Jess. She seems to have maybe a little more gentle approach to this, so.
All right, Mario.
On that note.
Sorry, I could get it together. Mario.
Yeah.
You seem to shoot a lot of different kind of experimental films. I looked at some of your photos, a lot of outdoor stuff, developing a lot of different kinds of films, and sometimes it comes out, sometimes it doesn't. I was curious if you were the type of person that is more meticulous and takes a lot of notes when you're doing this kind of stuff, or if you just kind of would wing it every time. Cause I'm definitely the person that would just wing it and kind of willy nilly shoot an experiment. Mm. But then a lot of other people will write stuff down and try again the next time and use what they learned in that manner. But I was curious about what your style was.
In my camera bag, I do have a notebook, and that was my intent. I think I have like 6 shots notated, and that was from back in the summer of 2019. So, no, I just basically shoot how the situation calls for it, you know, and most of the time it comes out relatively well. Sometimes it's like, oh, that came out really well, but you know, most of the time it's okay. And I learn from it. But no, I don't generally write anything down. Although I will say this, when I shot, so I bought a couple of rolls of Coda Color X and Coda Color 2 off eBay. The Coda Color 2 I didn't get anything from it, but the Coda Color X, the older film, I decided to develop it. I found some photographers on Flickr who also shot it and gave their development times, which was really helpful. So I developed it in C41 chemicals instead of C22, which was what it was designed for a certain amount of minutes. And I notated everything so that way I could remember the next time I shot it, because it's not really a film, you know, you don't normally get film that old that often. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted to remember it. So I notated everything down, and that way this coming summer when I shoot my two rolls of Coda Color X, I know kind of what I'm going to do. So, but in general, no, I don't. I'm not meticulous.
I shot one of my favorite films is that I got a whole bunch of Kodak recording film 24-75. It's like originally like 1,000 speed black and white. So obviously it's 20 years old at this point. So I shot two rows of it actually, and it came out beautiful. I believe I shot it at ISO 200, just guessing. And then the problem is I developed it myself and it came out fantastic, but I didn't write anything down about the developing. I wished I had, because I know I shot 200, but now I'm like, how long did I develop it for? So now I'm kind of like back at square one. I wished I had notated that. I didn't, because I'm horrible at that. And like, and when I'm out shooting, I don't know if you guys are like this, but I don't want to stop and like get technical and write things down, because I don't know, there's times, especially like you get in the zone sometimes, man, and like things are flowing and the shutter's clicking, and like I don't want to break that, you know, like I don't want to like break it and write down something down. But
exactly,
that's just where I'm,
the way that I've gotten around that is like because I've always got my phone on me, and you know, from the lock screen I can get to the camera, if I'm like, you know, metering or whatever, I'll just, you know, grab my phone from my pocket and just take a picture of like the camera with more or less what I'm taking a picture of in the background.
Oh, that's smart.
Shot, and then like later on when I go when I go to scan the film, it's all in order, because like it's one photo after the other, and I'm not taking a a picture of every shot. But if I want to know what I shot something at, all I need to do is just grab out my phone, go to like swipe up to go to the camera on the phone from the lock screen, and just take a picture of what settings I have on my camera. Because
that's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
Yeah. Do you use the apps when you develop, like Massive Dev and stuff, so it saves your little note that you did the last time you used it?
You
pay for the app.
I paid for
it. Oh, do you have to pay for it? I don't remember. I guess it's been so long.
I can't remember if I paid for it either.
It's like $3 or something. I just use the website.
Yeah, because then you just have all of them saved, though.
Yeah. I have some of the ones, the common ones, saved on the Massive Dev app or whatever. But I didn't have that app when I developed that 24-75. So I know I extended development time, and I know I used HC-110, but I don't know how long I did it. And I just wrote that down because I've got like, I got like 15 more rows of that shit. I even got like another 50 foot bulk roll of it as well. I've got a ton of it, and it's fantastic. It's like, it's really, really grainy, like even more so than like 3200 or whatever. And, but it's beautiful. And, apparently, back in the day, this will go along with the theme of this podcast tonight, but back in the day, a lot of the guys like to shoot the nudes with it. So, apparently,
at first I thought it was the old guy part that you were referring to, and now I realize it's the nudes you're referring to.
And so, did it capture those flesh tones?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to, you know, flesh for fantasy, whatever, Billy Idol, that's it's what it is. So, but
I got a question for you, Mike. As far as those, you know, expired film, do you go by the one stop per decade rule?
I mean, on that, I think I'd actually did work out to about that. I just, on that one, I don't know if it was one stop per decade. I just had read on the interwebs that somebody had luck shooting it at 200. So I just tried that, like, and just lucked out. It just actually ended up being perfect. But, and because it's such a high speed film, I was worried, you know, that it would, the expiration time would be a little more devastating to it than, like a slower speed film, but you know, there's a lot of debate about that, and I'm seeing more and more debate about like the one stop per decade rule and stuff. But
I've
used it quite a bit, and it has seemed to have worked. Like I mean, but I mean, there are also people saying, "Hey, man, just shoot at box speed." You know, I guess it depends. Like I think we had a conversation about this in Clubhouse, and I think somebody was like, well, it was actually Tim Ryugo from Kodak was saying, you know, if you have a couple rows to experiment, just take that first row and bracket the hell out of it and see where it shoots best. You know, that's probably your best bet, you know, but yeah.
And then to just be careful how you develop it or what?
He was saying, like, say you're shooting an old row of color or something. If you have several rows of it, use one row, bracket the heck out of it, you know, just bracket the hell out of it. And then, but then develop it normal. And so then you can
see which one.
Yeah, and then you kind of have an idea where that ISO is going to land, or what is it? It's not actually called EI technically.
Yeah, yeah.
Closure X. So there you go.
Your personal EI.
Right. Well, all right. Jess, where were you at on that subject? I know you kind of asked the question, but
I'm definitely more on the experimental willy nilly side. Just with that app, when I'm developing stuff, I have it saved just because the app is so convenient. It has a little timer and you can adjust every little part of it however you want it to be. But when it comes to shooting, I'd love to be that person that used my, because I have those field notes from Mike Padua, and they're so cool, but I end up writing other shit in there. I never write my camera. I'll have one or two pages that's, Andre's holding them up. That will have film notes in it. Or if I get a new camera, I might write something down, but then that's it. And then I just don't ever remember what I did. But the Pentax 645N is great because it saves it in the margins.
Yeah.
I do love that. But a lot of times I'm shooting with my Pentax 67 lenses, in which case it doesn't save anything. So it really doesn't matter. But especially with expired film, I just never write anything down. I'll overexpose it if it's old, but that's it. But yeah, I was just curious about that because a lot of my friends do write a lot of things down, and I'm just not that person.
Yeah, for me, I guess when I'm shooting, I don't write a whole lot. I don't write a whole lot down, and I'm not too meticulous when I'm shooting. When I'm developing, I'm a lot more meticulous as far as the timing and the temperature and all that. So
I feel like you have to be.
Yeah.
And you kind of have some time to write some things down because you're waiting between agitations. Right. What else am I going to do? I might as well write something down.
Especially if you do stand developing. I've gotten into stand developing lately.
Oh, okay.
With 2238, and it was, well, and actually with the expired Kodacolor, they seem to be turn out pretty good. So I think with the older film, I'm going to try doing more stand developing. So
okay. That makes sense because I think that's also a little bit of a way to ensure maybe some results if you kind of effed up the exposure a little bit, right? I mean, it gives you a little more leeway, I think. Like,
Lazenby?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it Leslie Lazenby?
Yep, you nailed it. Yep.
Okay. She wrote an article about stand developing, and she said, you know, because you're using far, far less developer, you know, as far as ratio of developer to water, all of that developer is going to get used up, and it's going to get used up over the course of the, you know, the 50, 60 minutes of developing. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to bring out the shadows. It's going to not do too much to the highlights. So you have blown out highlights, and it seemed to make sense to me. So I tried it and it seemed to be good. I really enjoyed the results. So it was like 3 milliliters to 477 milliliters of water of HC-110. Wow. So really, really, really dilute, you know?
Yeah. I'll have to add it to the gigantic list of things I need to try. So, yeah, but that's cool. But
keep on adding up, right?
There you go. That's a wonderful thing about this hobby, man. We'll never run out of things to try this. So that's kind of what's good about it. But all right, Jess, you have anything else? Or are we moving on to Andre?
We can go to Andre.
All right.
So my question to you, Mario, being a member of the glorious, illustrious Gen X who grew up with film, whereas I ever so vaguely remember film being a thing when I was little, what effect do you think that has on you and your photography, or like your appreciation of film? Because like I'm coming at it from a perspective of the fact that this is all new. I mean, there are elements to all of this, perhaps for a lot of us or for a lot of you guys, developing your film for the first time. Whereas back in the day, like very few people developed their own film. You used lab, you had like 1 hour photos and things like that. But how does that play into kind of your whole relationship with film photography? It having been a thing that was, it's funny because in some ways an everyday part of y'all's life.
It's all we knew. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was an everyday part of y'all's life in a completely different way.
Well, so I guess way back in the day, the only film that I did shoot was, you know, the disposable cameras. Mm-hmm. I shot those. And then my mom gave me a Canon Elf maybe that used, you know, the hottest trend in film photography. Yes. And so that, I honestly thought that APS was 35 millimeter. I didn't know any difference. Mm-hmm. I never consciously shot 35 millimeter film back in the day. So for me, the actual, you know, the doing of film photography is pretty new. It's still new, even though been into it for about 2 years now. It's still really new for me. But kind of what informs me is a lot of the old photos from my childhood. I love those photos. I love the look of those photos.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to get those results using, you know, film that is kind of similar to the film that was, in production back then is just kind of a neat thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think there's a bit of a romanticism that people of our generation have, like that when we come back to film photography, it's like, oh yeah, this reminds me of my every shot of my childhood or my college years or my high school years. Like, yeah, yeah. There is, it takes us back to a time when we were a little younger and a little more free. So,
speaking of that generation, it's kind of weird watching old music videos where they have, you know, film cameras. I was watching a Fiona Apple video, Criminal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a really weird video.
Yeah, it was kind of considered a bit of a racy video at the time. Yeah,
I remember that. But in it, she has an old, you know, point-and-shoot camera from the 90s, you know?
That's right, that's right.
You know?
Did you figure out what camera it was? I'm going to have to watch it.
I haven't.
Yeah. I haven't yet, though. I do remember that, yeah. And that whole video had that sort of 90s kind of look to it with there's a that whole
grungy
music
90s
scene. The grungy 90s look. Yeah. A lot of film shots back then had that look too, and I've always been trying to recreate that somehow. But apparently like some people have said that the Metropolis kind of gets that that grungy kind of 90s grunge band band photo look, you know. So
it
I don't
is
know.
It is interesting film. I've shot 5 rolls of it. And I think I red scaled 1 roll of that. It produced some pretty cool results, but yeah, it does have some very old 90s grungy vibe to it.
I'm excited.
Yeah. But, I've heard it said as like color film for black and white shooters.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that. It's real super muted colors.
Yeah.
So
man, it's going to be cool. All right.
Yeah.
I'll go on to my question. And this one, I was actually very happy about this. You know, Mario started a podcast, the Gen X photography podcast, and everybody should check it out and all that. But, you know,
thank you, sir.
There's a reputation on this podcast of some alcohol being consumed. And I think Mario might have, in a way, one up this because he dedicated an entire episode to alcohol, and we just get drunk while we're doing it. But like, he has a whole episode not talking about any photography, and this is a photography podcast just talking about alcohol. So, and I'm like, well, this guy, that's what moved him up on the short list to get on the show. But so Mario, tell me about this this little fascination with a little nectar called absinthe.
Oh my goodness, it's so good. So absinthe is generally, you know, 68 proof. Mm-hmm. It's pretty potent, but you dilute it with water, and it has this lovely herbal smell and flavor. If you don't like black licorice, you won't like absinthe, but I happen to really love fennel, anise, and now wormwood. I mean, it's just lovely, lovely, good, a good drink, very, very good drink. Mm. Way back in the day, I mean, this is back like in the, well, Bram Stoker's Dracula. There's that famous absinthe scene, you know?
Right, right.
I had no idea what that was. I thought it was poison. You know, and for a long time, I thought it was poison. And then in 2008, when it was opened up in the U.S., I was like, I'll give it a try. Actually, to tell you the truth, one of the I was listening to this band called Dimmu Borgir, and they have one of the band members is by a piano. He's dressed up in black and white paint, you know, real gothic, and he has this bottle of absinthe right there. I'm like, okay. So 2008, it opened up in the U.S. and I bought some really cheap stuff, but it was my gateway into good absinthe, and so I'm forever thankful for it. And oh man, I can't tell you how much I love absinthe. I don't drink, you know, very much of it. It's once a week that I have one drink, and that's what I'll limit myself to. It's expensive. Mm-hmm. And it's highly alcoholic, but it's so good.
Nice. I've had it one time. Yeah.
I used to have some when I the first time I went to college, there were some guys in the service in some of my classes, and they actually brought me absinthe a bottle of it every birthday.
Nice.
For some birthdays, because I guess while you were in the service, you weren't allowed to have wormwood. You would get tested. They weren't legally allowed to drink it, or at least that's what they told me. So they would have these bottles that they'd bring back from overseas. So they would just give me their bottles of absinthe that they would take home. Because while they were active, they weren't allowed to have any wormwood. That stuff will queue up. Like,
if you're not careful,
if you're partying with it, it's pretty rough. And some of them were flavored too, which was kind of cool. And then there's just like the straight stuff too.
Yeah. It's true, especially if you mix it, like if you mix it with just plain water or ice, it's got its own flavor, its own.
Yeah.
I don't know what you. Anyways, the flavor of absinthe. But then if you mix it with other things, like say root beer, one of my favorite things to do is mix it with say a grapefruit soda, and the flavors just marry together so nice that if you're not careful, you can down like, you know, three or four, and then you're.
It's kind of like ouzo. I don't know if you've ever had ouzo, like Greek ouzo, and it kind of has that same licorice flavor too.
Yeah.
We used to mix that with like this grapefruit seltzer type thing back in the day.
Well, I feel like whenever we have Mario on in the future in a round table, we all have to just drink absinthe, I guess. So
yeah, apparently.
That'd be awesome.
It's been a long time.
Speaking of music videos, wasn't like Nine Inch Nails the perfect drug?
You are the perfect drug.
Was there like absinthe in that video? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, one other just little last thing to ask you, Mario. Where would you like to see? Like, I always think about this as the longer I do this podcast. Like, where would you like to see your podcast go? Do you have any plans of changing it? You just kind of just keep letting it go as it is, or you think at some point you want to have guests or like what are you thinking on that?
That's the biggest thing that I'd like to do, and I honestly had no idea about Skype. This is the first time I've ever used it, so I use the Anchor app, and I you know it's real lo-fi. I use the microphone on my phone, you know, that's about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, as time moves on, maybe I'll add a microphone or something like that. And now that I have Skype, maybe that'll be a way. But, yeah, I'd love to have guests. And I've been thinking about some different people I'd like to have on. I see, you know, a bunch on the Negative Positives Facebook page that I'd like to try to invite or on Instagram, you know, so.
Very cool. Well, if you need any help, trust me, it's been a very long process. Us learning, it's been a long learning curve for us to learn this stuff, and we still don't have it perfected. But if you need any help, we will be glad to help you out on
absolutely. How to get
set up with this. So yeah. But very cool. All right. Well, I think we're about ready to wrap this up. Anybody else have any other follow ups or anything? Are we all good?
All good. No,
Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, Mario, it's been our pleasure, man. It's been a blast. And it's been a long time coming. I joked that the absinthe moved you up the short list. You were on the short list for a while. So I'm just saying.
Thank you.
Mario, how about we tell the fine folks where to check you out and where to, you know, the podcast and all that stuff.
Okay. So on my biggest place, I guess, right now is Flickr and the Facebook page on the negative positives page. Did I say Flickr?
Yeah, you said Flickr. Yeah.
Okay, I meant Instagram. But I am on Flickr, and that's my favorite place. Maybe it's a Freudian slip. Instagram, I'm on there under Mario Piper, and then I have a Gen X Photog Pod, you know, side place for where I put my photos that deal with a particular episode that I'm talking about.
Okay.
If I'm talking about a particular film or something like that. But my favorite place is Flickr, just because you can see full-size photos, lots and lots of information on Flickr, and I'm under Mario Piper, I think. I don't know. I don't know my socials. let me look here for a minute. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'll need that for the show, though. It's
gonna... okay, that's great, because I can't remember. I just upload photos.
Well, just send me once we get down recording, send me on the messenger thread. Send me what your Flickr is, and I'll make sure I get it in the show notes. So,
yeah. Okay, sounds good.
All right, Andre, where can people see you, brother?
People can see my oft neglected Instagram at Andre on Film, and I've actually been thinking about getting on Flickr because, you know. If there's ever any additional social media platform for me to not post on,
might be on all of them, right?
Might as well.
Yeah. I think the reason why I chose Flickr is because you can upload any size of photo. And so I just upload it from my computer to Flickr, and then I can download it onto my iPad, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and the free Flickr is like 1,000 photos now or something. But then after that, you have to pay. Is that how it works now?
Yeah, but it's not that much.
Yeah,
and it's unlimited photos, and you just pay once a year. I think it's like $15 or something like that.
Oh, okay, so, that's not bad. Yeah, all right,
it's not bad at all.
You get like a good permanent archive off.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Okay.
Full size photos.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't have to downsize the resolution and all that BS. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Very cool. All right, Jess. Where can people see you at?
They can find me at YesYones on Instagram. I'm in the Negative Positives Facebook group, and I'm popping in and out of Clubhouse these days. Also, YesYones.
Awesome. Yeah, we've been Andre and I had a little Negative Positives room last night. So if you're on the Clubhouse app, check us out. We'll be on there every once in a while. And if you're not on the Clubhouse app and you have an iPhone and you want to be on, I have like 6 invites, I think, left in that I can give out. So just
get a hold of me. Yeah, I've got a few too if anyone needs
one. Yeah, it's been very film community has been very active in it. So, all right, let's see. You can see me on Instagram at Gutterman Photo, on Facebook at Mike Gutterman Photography. You can email this program at negpositives@gmail.com. You can join the Facebook group, the Negative Positives Film Photo Podcast Facebook group. Look in the announcement section soon to submit your kissy selfie. Flesh for fantasy photos and possibly win a role of the FPP's Film Love, graciously donated by Mr. Michael Rosso from the FPP. And let's see here. Instagram account. We have an Instagram account for the show under Negative Positives, mostly ran by Mrs. Roxana Angles. If you submit photos to Instagram, think about using the hashtag Negative Positives, and maybe Roxana will see it and highlight it for us all to check out. You can support this program on Ko-fi. It is ko-fi.com/negativepositives. Let's see. Oh, man, there's a lot of shit here. Like my Bandcamp, if you want to check out the new electronic, more down-tempo album that I just put out, it's mikegutterman.bandcamp.com. And lastly, we have a merch store, the Negative Pauses Podcast.bigcartel.com, to get you some overpriced t-shirts, overpriced coffee mug, and overpriced hats that we make 3 cents on. So very, very good. So, well, thank you so much, Mario, for joining us, man. This has been a blast. And yeah,
thank you.
Well, definitely, you're now qualified to be on a roundtable sometime in the future. So
awesome! Awesome.
All right, well, folks, thanks for listening. Have a great week, everybody. Stay positive,
and shoot some cool film photos.
Nailed it! All right, folks, thanks for listening.
Gutter Man Cave Production.